Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Appreciate you hanging out with us today. Obviously, the madness of March is upon us. Drew Maddox checking in now to talk college basketball, as he does a couple times each week. Drew?
War Eagle, Drew. War Eagle.
Oh, here we go. Let's just start from there. Babs is salty, Drew. They win 4 games in 4 days and are rewarded with a number 5 seed.
Yeah. Were you guys not just amazed at that game yesterday? I mean, I don't think anybody could have predicted the dominance by which Auburn played with, the amount of turnovers that they forced Tennessee into, and then the brilliant three-point shooting in that game. Just a ton of fun to watch, an entertaining team. Obviously, seeing Bruce Pearl build another program from the very bottom of the SEC to the top part of the SEC. It's just really incredible what he's done there. And this is a team that I think is really set up to do well in this tournament. I mean, when you look at their bracket, and you look, they got to play New Mexico State. I know that's won 19 games in a row, but I look for them to win that game, and then I look for them to even beat Kansas, a Kansas team that has a depleted roster, not much depth. I look at the pace and the way that Auburn plays to punch their ticket into the Sweet 16.
That depth thing is a big deal for Auburn. When you can run that many bodies in and keep the tempo up, and because you know this, Drew, you're a shooter, man. You're a volume shooter. You get tired. It's hard to hit those shots. But if you got somebody take some minutes and let you rest, you can hit a lot of shots and hoist up a lot.
Oh, no doubt. And you know, nobody has utilized the three-point line quite like the Auburn Tigers this year. And if you look at yesterday, I mean, really, Jared Harper really struggled from the perimeter. It was uncharacteristic for him. I think he was 0 for 6 from the three-point line, if I'm not mistaken. So
1 of 11 from the field. Like, he really struggled.
Yeah, he really struggled yesterday. And he had been playing brilliant basketball, Dawn. I mean, up until that point. Yeah. For them to win the way that they won, and for him to struggle in a game like that, and particularly not shoot that well, but they're just able to stretch you out. They have so many different weapons, and when Okiki is really shooting the ball well and able to stretch those post players to the perimeter, this is a very, very, very dangerous team to have to play against.
When you look at that kind of basketball, though, the kind of that style, how does it translate into an NCAA tournament where, you know, you got to keep winning, win or go home? How does that style I mean, it's a little dangerous from a standpoint of relying on that style for an entire tourney run, right?
Yeah, I mean, sure. But I tell you, I look at it the opposite way of that, Dawn, and I just speak from, you know, coaching perspective and what we're trying to do in those key moments, in those pressurized situations where you're trying to open up and get your team to not be fearful. I view that Bruce Pearl, I've not been in one of his locker rooms before the game, but really trying to express to his team to go play with freedom, to not be looking over their shoulder and to be fearful. And I think the teams that win these types of games now are the teams that are willing to make mistakes, that really play free and go out and just lay it on the line and not looking over their shoulder in case they make a mistake. And when I watch this Auburn team play, I just think it's a confident team. I think it's a fearless team. And I think it's a team that's highly connected to each other and really bought into the concept of being others focused. And I think this is a team that has multi-dimensions to it. And so it could be a variety of different guys that can really step up and lead their team to a victory.
On the other side of this, if you're Rick Barnes, do you bury that tape or do you actually review it with your team?
Well, I think obviously you have to review some of the things that really happened in that game. But I do think you're trying to get your team to be confident going into this tournament. You've been really playing for this tournament, the seeding of this tournament. I think the bracket sets up well for Tennessee. But obviously you got to pay attention to some of the things. It was uncharacteristic for them when you watched that game. The ball security or lack thereof of ball security. They had some turnovers that were just bizarre to me. I mean, balls that were just slipping through their fingers. And I know Auburn creates more turnovers than any program in the country, but this Tennessee team has been terrific all year long and making sure they take care of the basketball. So I just thought it was some of those things, but I think it's a recipe for disaster. It's not a great matchup for Tennessee. Basketball, particularly in bracket play, it's a matchup-driven proposition. Auburn creates problems for Tennessee because of the way that they're going to utilize Grant Williams, the way they want to utilize Admiral Schofield. Auburn can stretch you out. So I think it was more about what Auburn was able to do than what Tennessee was not able to do. And I look for Tennessee to be very, very confident headed into this. They're going to be Colgate. And then that Cincinnati game in Columbus sets up to be an intriguing one in the 32 round.
Drew Maddux, our guest, at Drew Maddux on Twitter. Rick Barnes talked about the play of Grant Williams after the game, Drew, and he only had three shots. He only put up three field goals at the half, and it took him a little while in the second half to get more shots than that. Tennessee at their most maddening to me is they'll have turnovers, but they settle for outside shots and not even always great outside shots. I know you love the three-pointer, but when you've got a guy like Grant who can be such a mismatch, and if you're having trouble hitting those shots, I don't understand why he doesn't get more looks sometimes.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. So clearly hear me say I love the three-point line, but I believe the three-point shot should be created with the ball piercing into the paint. Now, that has to happen either through post play or it has to happen through penetration. And so, Mickey, I'm with you. I sat there. I went to the last 3 days. I saw all three games live down at the SEC tournament. And every single game, everybody I was sitting with, we were all scratching our heads saying, why is Grant Williams not getting more touches? Yeah. Even in the Kentucky game, when you go back and look in the first half, he didn't get any touches in the first half. Tennessee really struggled. When they got going in the second half, it's when they started to play through Grant Williams. He got more involved, and he surpassed the 20-point mark. This is a guy that averages 19 points a game, almost 8 rebounds a game, and is the SEC player of the year.
Yeah.
I do believe, and I know Jordan Bone's been terrific all year, and we've made a lot to do with what he's done facilitating the offense, but Grant Williams, particularly in tournament time, has got to get more touches in the post. And the other thing, Mickey, he's a terrific passer out of the post as well, and he'll make those shots become way more open for those shooters on the perimeter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. After a whole lot of speculation by a lot of people and a whole lot of people saying it ain't going to happen, it happened. Belmont gets in.
Incredible. I mean, I think it was a landmark day, for Belmont and for the Ohio Valley Conference. But I really just am so happy for Rick Byrd, Brian Ayers, James Strong, some of my former teammates that were at Vanderbilt with me, their players, the community. I just think it's a terrific storyline. And, you know, the interesting thing, and we already posted it on Twitter as I replied to being on your show today, Belmont's the favorite for this game against Temple, a three-point favorite, and their win probability is up to 58%. So not only are they this storyline of getting into the tournament, now this is a team that is becoming somebody that really should maybe win a game. And then it sets up, can they win that next game this weekend as they move through the tournament? So I think, you know, Belmont goes into Dayton. Can they take care of business? And then they're really looking at a Maryland matchup that many people are picking that they can win to get their way into the Sweet 16.
I'll ask you this, Drew, before we let you go. How have you got your bracket set up with people coming out of each region, your championship game, and who have you got picked to win?
Yeah, so I have, if you start in the top left quad, I think it's hard to go against Duke. I have a Duke-Michigan State matchup in the Elite Eight, Duke making their way to the Final Four. Bottom left quad in the West, I do have Gonzaga. I thought that was the weakest of all four regions, so I went ahead and pushed Gonzaga into the Final Four, beating Michigan. I have Virginia and Tennessee playing in the Elite Eight.
Well, this is awful chalky, Drew.
Say what?
It's awful chalky so far.
I know. I'm sorry. I go once it gets into the Sweet 16 Elite Eight, I tend to go with the favorites. Okay. I do have Virginia making their way into the Final Four, and then I have Kentucky beating Carolina to make their way into the Final Four. Mm. I have a Kentucky and Duke matchup in the finals with the Big Blue cutting down the nets and beating Duke Blue Devils.
What?
Yes.
But the,
yes.
Duke has Zion. Do you not watch ESPN,
Duke
Drew? It doesn't
Zion.
Work that
did
way.
Did you see what Tennessee did to Kentucky?
Yes, huh? Drew. Do you know who Dick Vitale is? If he heard you say that, he would smack you.
Well, I'm going against historical math here, Mickey. And as we've been saying, Duke would be the worst three-point shooting team in the history of the three-point line to win the NCAA tournament. I just don't think when it comes time, push comes to shove, that they can shoot it good enough. Yeah, Zion's great, R.J. Barrett great, but they're going to need Cam Reddish and Trey Jones to make some outside shots for them to win.
Well, Zion will just block every one of the other team's shots, Drew, and he'll have 50 dunks in the game, and that's how
right.
they'll get
what
their 100 points.
What am I thinking, right? So I'm going Big Blue. I think they're going to do it.
There you go. Oh, it's going to be fun. The road there is going to be fun.
What is this next couple of weeks like for you?
I'm like a kid in a candy store. I still print off the blank brackets. I've done it since I was literally in first, second grade, where we used to tear out the newspaper. I sit there. I still have my pencil. I go to my kids were laughing at me. They're like, Dad, you can print this off here in a second. I'm like, no, I want to walk my way through it. I still use my pen. I still use paper. And I just love it. I love every aspect of it. I love the storylines that are created, the underdogs, the favorites, the, you know, who emerges. It's just the best time of the year if you're a basketball junkie like myself.
People make fun of me, but to me, this is the best part because everybody still has a chance to win. Everybody's getting sent off, and they're having these pep rallies. And this leading up to the first games is my favorite part of the whole tournament right now.
Absolutely. I mean, look at today. Belmont was on an airplane flying to Dayton. Yesterday, they were just sitting there biting their nails. Are we in or are we out? And then tomorrow night, we're going to watch them on the big screen against Temple in a game that we hope the Belmont Bruins will win.
I love it, man. Well, hopefully we can maybe even catch up with you again before the end of the week.
I would love it. You guys have a great, great rest of your week, and we look forward to what's going to be the story of the weekend.
Awesome. Drew Maddox, at Drew Maddox on Twitter, always putting out some great stuff, great wisdom. And if you ask him basketball questions, he answers. That's the way he does it. We come back. We've taken a whole lot of phone calls from Kentucky fans and Tennessee fans about Kentucky fans and Kentucky fans about themselves and all sorts of stuff. We will continue to take calls.